Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Aaron's Podcast, episode 122. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, 2008. This is actually take two of this podcast, because I tried recording one earlier, and for some reason GarageBand ate it. I have no idea what went wrong or what happened, but I could not fix it. So I'm trying again, and it's much later than I normally record. It's nearly 8:30 on Wednesday evening, but it happens. Today's episode is called New Zealand Updates, and mainly I'm going to give you a few updates about the upcoming elections, and also some miscellaneous ones after that. But first, a couple of completely unrelated things. Over at aaronspodcast.com, I've been subjected to a spam comment attack over the past couple of days. Basically, it's a spam bot that keeps trying to post spam comments on my site. Now it's down to just one particular post over and over and over again. But so as a result of that, I've had to put in higher level of comment moderation. Basically, what happens is that if you haven't posted a comment before, I have to approve it. If you have, then you can post as normal. And hopefully for the time being, that will block the spam bots. Eventually, I'm going to change the system and put in something that requires some sort of verification, as you see on most blogs, actually. Brad from 773 Podcast actually pointed me in the direction of a plugin for WordPress that does that, but unfortunately, I couldn't get it to work. So I'm going to keep looking, because I'm sure that there's one there that will do that, because other people seem to be able to do it. And hopefully that will then take care of the problem once and for all, so I can reset it to a lower level of security. But I was getting a spam comment posted basically once an hour, and at its height, it was on three or four different posts. So it was quite a lot of work to keep that stuff removed, and this was the only way I could find to temporarily turn that off, to block that without actually making all comments be approved, which is frankly a bit more work for me. So I apologize for the inconvenience, but unfortunately at the moment that's the only way I can keep the spam comments off of my site. In other news, unrelated to updates, yesterday of course was the 21st of October, and today is the 22nd. The 21st is exactly 3 months until my birthday, and today, Wednesday the 22nd, is exactly 13 weeks. A big deal, you may say. I mean, Archer gets an entire month for his birthday. Actually, he gets 2 months if you want to be technical about it. But the the big deal is that that birthday is a very big deal. It's my 50th, and in some ways I'm not entirely looking forward to it. But this is just my first mention of it, and I'm sure I'm going to be talking about it more as the time gets closer. But when that time rolls around, I'll finally get around to posting a mailing address. It would be nice to get cards from various parts of the world, but that's all I'm asking for. Certainly no gifts, no cash, no nothing. But a card would be nice. But as I say, I'll talk about that more as the time gets closer. God knows I'll probably be whinging about it by that time. But the main topic today that I wanted to talk about was, or is, was, whatever, the New Zealand elections. And the brutal truth is that they're really not very interesting this year. My fellow blogger, Nick from Spatula Forum, it's actually a fellow American expat in Auckland too, has written a bit about it, and I don't actually disagree with what he's been saying. There aren't any really strong burning issues in this campaign. I mean, it's the usual sorts of things that people talk about all the time in New Zealand elections: health, education, police/public safety, those kinds of things. And not a whole lot else really becomes a major issue. Now, as I've said before, there are two major parties, the Labour Party and the National Party, which are both battling it out to form the next government. And neither one is likely to have enough seats to govern by themselves. National will probably end up with more seats than Labour, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be able to form a government, because they have to have, obviously, a majority of the seats in the House, and there are 120 seats in the New Zealand Parliament. So they'll have to form a coalition with somebody. Well, their options are really quite limited. The Labour Party has run three successful coalition governments in a row. The National Party was the first government under the MMP system that we have now, and their coalition government fell apart. And they have very few natural allies left in Parliament. There's only one right-wing party, and there's one kind of centre party, but it's likely to only have one MP. So their options are really quite limited. The Labour Party, on the other hand, as I said, has run three successful governments and can form a coalition with a number of different parties and has in the past. One of the parties that it's working with now is called New Zealand First, and it, in current polling, may not be in parliament at all after the elections. So we can't count on them. But the Greens, on the other hand, which is probably, well, it's probably the third biggest party in parliament now, or will be in the new parliament, is a potential coalition partner for Labour. They could not do a deal with Labour. As a matter of fact, with National. Just yesterday, they came out and said that. So a Labour-Green coalition is theoretically possible. The National Party, which is basically a conservative party, has been moving back towards the center after it veered sharply to the right in the 2005 elections. But that is actually at the core of Labour's campaign against them. Labour's slogan is, this one's about trust. And they basically say that since National has reversed its policies on most things, can you trust them to keep their word? Can you believe them? Can you trust them to do what you want them to do? Which, by and large, are things that New Zealanders want, which that Labour-led governments have put in over the years. So that's what their slogan is. National's slogan is, choose a brighter future. Now, I've been a student of politics for a long, long time, and that, quite frankly, is one of the dumbest slogans I've ever heard, because it doesn't say anything. It's a really bland, meh, kind of slogan. I mean, I would have thought it would have been choose the best future or something like that, but better implies it is good, but could be a little bit better, as opposed to choose a good future from instead of this bad one. I mean, there's no oppositional statement in that slogan. Whereas Labour's, this one's about trust, implies that you can't trust National as well as that you can trust Labour, which is clearly the intent. Hopefully I'll eventually be able to put together a video of these signs, but the best campaign signs of any of them are the signs for the Greens, which show a little girl standing on a beach with Rangitoto in the background, and it says across the middle of the sign, vote for me, and then the Greens logo. And it reinforces everything that the Greens are about and what non-committed voters might be thinking about, voting for children, voting for the environment, voting for the planet, all those kinds of things, voting for essential New Zealandness, which Rangitoto helps symbolize, at least for Aucklanders. So those are the best signs so far. And we don't have the level of TV commercials that typically would be seen in America. As a matter of fact, we have very few. But recently, the Labour Party ran a commercial that was comparing the statements of the opposition leader John Key some years back to what he's saying now, and like night and day. And some people on the right have been complaining, oh, they're using American-style politics. Well, it's nothing like that. Nothing at all. On current polling, National will get the most votes, and Labour will come in second. But that could change because, you know, it's still more than 2 weeks to Election Day. Because our Election Day is the Saturday after the U.S. Election Day. It's Saturday, November 8th. So we've got a little bit more time to run before ours is over yet. But those are a few updates on the elections. And as I've said before, I hope to be able to put together a video before this campaign is over. But we'll see how it goes. But anyway, now I do have a few comments, the phone comment and a written comment. But before I get to that, I wanted to say that Monday, this coming Monday, is Labor Day in New Zealand. And it's a public holiday. And of course, Nigel's off, so we have a three-day weekend. Woohoo! So next week, the podcast is going back to its normal schedule of Tuesday and Friday. And the week after that, of course, is election week, and I have no idea what's happening with that yet. I'm not promising anything. So that's the schedule for the coming week. And also, just, I thought this was kind of interesting, Monique Rhodes, who was on episode 91, Kiwi singer-songwriter, is back in New Zealand. She's touring various wineries around New Zealand with Shona Lang, who's a Kiwi icon. And she was just on the Good Morning program on TVNZ this morning, as a matter of fact, they both were. So I certainly wish her well, and I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes for that. But now I'm going on to comments. And actually, I have a couple of emails, and these are both about healthcare. The first one is from Nancy in Japan, who said, we have private insurance out of Liberty in Hong Kong, about US $7,000 a year for the two of us. We have this because it allows us to use it worldwide. But she says, Japanese national insurance is good, but as you say, no system is perfect. For individuals, ceiling is capped at about $6,000 per household, but the non-householders pay 30%. Premiums matched by employers are very low. One feature that we do like, even though we are non-breeders by choice, meaning they don't have children, every child in Japan is entitled to free health care up to age 6. Children shouldn't suffer because their parents can't provide. Another good feature is that we can always opt to go back to the Japanese system at any age. And actually, children are meant to be covered, have free doctor's visits here as well. Of course, any hospital care is free. They're meant to be covered with doctor's visits. But in some places, they do have to make a small payment. The parents have to make a small payment as well. It depends on where they're at and nature of the subsidies that they get from their district health board, those kinds of things. But I also had another question about healthcare, and it said, what if you're traveling abroad to the U.S. or elsewhere? If you have a medical emergency, are you covered as a New Zealand citizen? I recall a horror story of a U.S. citizen having a medical emergency in Greece a few years ago that required hospitalization and surgery. It was awful. Very informative episode, as usual. And, of course, that's referring to episode 119, the issue of healthcare. And the answer is that you're generally not covered if you're traveling overseas. And so Kiwis buy traveler's insurance when they go in order to provide especially emergency care. And that's particularly important, obviously, if you're going to the U.S., where in many places they won't even treat you if you don't have health insurance. So that's just a given that if you're traveling overseas, you'll get health insurance. If you have private health insurance, as I do, it will often cover you overseas, just as your homeowner's policy may, in some cases, cover you for things you lose. If you buy things with your credit card, that will usually provide insurance, those kinds of things. But the national, as far as I'm aware, the national health care doesn't cover that. Now, I'm going to actually summarize a few emails that I've exchanged with a fellow expat here in America, fellow American expat here in New Zealand, in another part of the country. Because I don't want to get into any specific details, but this person's husband needed some particular health care, and the local health care facilities failed pretty miserably by the sound of it. And that's the kind of thing I was talking about when I was saying that no system's perfect, and I also said that it varies somewhat from, area to area. And that can be especially true if it's a... a high-intensity medical situation, like could be cancer, could be heart disease, could be any number of things. And that is a failing in the system that in some ways is a failure of the centralness of it, because there's not enough control exerted from the central authorities to make sure that the locals are doing their job. And that actually has been going on for the past several years as control over healthcare has been devolved to these local things they call district health boards, which are elected separately. But the basic point that I make about it is still the same, and that's that everyone is covered and that no one will be bankrupted if they have to have major surgery or have a major illness of some kind. You don't have to worry about losing your home or your possessions because you get sick or have an accident, for instance. And I think that those are really strong strengths of the New Zealand system. But now I'm going to play a voicemail message.
Hi, Arthur. This is Calvin. I had a quick question. You're always doing these comparisons between New Zealand and America, and since New Zealand is such a large lamb producer, I was wondering if you have a preference between the two. Do you even have the option of purchasing American lamb in New Zealand? And I don't know, I was going to say that many people... You have a preference for American lamb, but perhaps that's because, I don't know. But they say that New Zealand lamb is more grass-fed, which I think is a good thing, although they often finish even more grass-fed meats with grain at the end to sort of change things. And I wonder if they do, you know, if there are some New Zealand lambers that do that. Anyway, oh, and then as to the politics, I always wish you guys would talk more about issues and less about the... sort of machinations of either party, which unfortunately is passing these days as news. I don't know. But I do appreciate the political talk. But I want to hear more about Afghanistan and more about, you know, other problems that aren't really being covered. But that's just my wish. I enjoy it nonetheless. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Calvin. I actually didn't realize you still listened anymore. So that's good to hear. I, of course, listened to Calvin's podcast, which is called Hello Waffles. But I have to admit that there was a stretch there of, about 6 or 7 weeks or so where he wasn't recording at all. And I kind of got out of the practice of looking for the new ones as they were coming down the tubes. And so I got way behind there for a while, but all caught up now. And Calvin's actually only one of two podcasters I can think of who have ever talked about Foucault on a podcast, and I quite admire that, because I certainly wouldn't be able to do it. But that's very good. Thank you for that, Calvin. And to answer your questions, first, the last part first, we will get back to talking about issues. We're just concentrating on the partisan stuff at the moment because that's where the focus is. And, of course, that's what we're personally interested in, relying on anyway. But certainly we'll be talking more about issues, both in the next couple of weeks probably, but also certainly after the elections are over, because obviously the things are going to be focusing around, you know, getting things done. But as for lamb, no, you can't buy New Zealand lamb, or sorry, American lamb in New Zealand, as far as I know, which would be kind of silly considering we produce so much. But the best lamb is shipped overseas, and I mean, what we get is really, really good. But it's not. We don't necessarily get the best of the best. Now, the next little bit may upset vegetarians, so you may want to avert your ears or fast forward or whatever. But New Zealand lamb is grass-fed. Calvin's right about that. Usually on very large stations where the average American herd might be a few hundred head, a flock, sorry. A New Zealand flock may be several thousand or even more, and they may be on tens of thousands of hectares in all up, the sheep stations. And they are grass-fed, as far as I know, right up until the end. I know that we don't have feedlots in the American sense, and I doubt very much that they're grain-fed at all. So they're pretty much grass-fed all the way through. Now, I think it's a fine product, but I also used to have it when I was growing up in America. But here's an kind of interesting thing. Only several years ago, the New Zealand lamb people wanted to form kind of a joint marketing venture with American lamb producers because at that time, only about 20% of Americans had ever even tasted lamb. But the American farm producers refused, partly because they were afraid that it would also increase competition. New Zealanders, remember that the U.S. slaps huge tariffs on New Zealand lamb, and so it's very expensive to bring into the U.S. So the odds of New Zealand sales skyrocketing because of better marketing were not very good, let's be honest here. But the New Zealand theory was that a rising tide lifts all boats, so if you increase demand for lamb generally, that would increase the demand for domestic lamb as well as imported lamb, and that eventually it might help New Zealand by removing the tariffs and we'd be able to sell more lamb in the U.S., and blah, 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 blah. But the point is that it still would have helped U.S. farmers as well, and they weren't able to see that, apparently. But that's probably more about lamb marketing and production than you'd ever care to know. But there you go. And then I just have one written comment, and this is on episode 121, and it's from Roger Green, who said, "Oh, Gussie, is that a Kiwi curse word?" And I said, "No, that's a saying that Big Fatty uses on his podcast. I was stealing it." And the sound clip I used at the very beginning of the last episode was sort of a mishmash of an actual thing from a Big Fatty podcast. And I mixed together things that didn't really go together. For example, he wasn't really talking about a sandwich. It was about this phrase, "Dear Gussie," that he uses at the end of virtually every episode when he's theoretically surprised by the closing music. I say theoretically because you never know if it's real or not. But so I took the challenge and created the mix and mash of what he actually said, as he's done against other podcasters. And then I figured I might as well say "Dear Gussie" at the end. And that's all that's about. But that's all the comments for today. And that's all I have for today. And I will be back again on Friday with podcast with Jason. Now, we actually recorded earlier today. And as I said, I had to re-record this episode. But I have to edit that one, and so I'm not going to post it until sometime Friday. So you have a day in between anyway, probably. Or nearly a day. But that's it for today, everybody. I hope you're having a good week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Aaron's Podcast at aaronspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at arthur@aaronspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.